little song by a guy called Chris Lloyd about tropical North Queensland and Cairns in particular. So I've just been to Cairns, Port Douglas and Palm Cove this past week with an annual trade event called Sell TNQ, and I've been going to that for quite a few years to see how the business events industry works and grows and improves up there in this region. It's a high-yield sector of the travel industry, and it brings delegates from around the country and sometimes around the world to hold a meeting or celebrate successful performance as a company against the backdrop of the iconic Great Barrier Reef and the Daintree Rainforest, the Atherton Tablelands. It's a wonderful part of the world. And I spoke with Rosie Douglas, who runs Business Events Cairns. Rosie Douglas, we're sitting here on top of a Sun Lover boat. This one's not going out to the reef today, but one right next door is. And we're in the marina at Cairns. Slightly overcast today, but beautiful. People down south love it when it isn't too humid. This joint's going off. Everyone I've spoken to, 35 suppliers here in Cairns, Palm Cove and Port Douglas, reckon it's been a cracker of a year.
Yes, thanks, Graeme. It absolutely has been a cracker of a year, and we're very excited about what's coming online as well, which is going to increase not only the hotel capacity in the region, but new attractions as well. So very, very exciting times ahead for our region.
So what sort of dollar investment is there in these new developments, which we'll sort of detail in a second? How many millions are involved?
We're looking at overall over $800 million worth of investment, which is a combination of both public facilities but also private investment as well.
Okay, so let's just detail them. There's a man allegedly from Syria, now lives in Dubai, is a citizen of Belgium, who's got a group called Crystal Brook, and they are doing three hotels in this town right at this minute.
Yeah, that's right, Graeme. And this Crystal Brook collection is a very exciting project for the region. It's the first major hotel development that's happened, I would say, probably in the last 10 years in terms of dedicated hotels. There's been a lot of department development over the years, but these will be dedicated five-star international standard hotels. So it'll increase the capacity of the region when all three are open by about 800 rooms. So we're pretty excited about that. The other great thing about the Crystal Brook collection is they've also purchased the marina in Port Douglas. So they've got some really exciting developments happening up there. The marina itself, they're looking at pitching it for super yachts, and there's lots of changes going on in that industry. They're also looking at a major retail precinct along with a six-star hotel. So still very much in the development stage at the moment, but another exciting project, certainly for Port Douglas.
Some of the other things that are interesting here, there's an aquarium. There's some other sort of refurbishment going on. It seems like when the tide comes in, all the boats have to rise.
Yeah, that's probably the exciting part about it. It's with not only the hotel side of it, I know there's a lot of discussion with all the other hotels in the region about now, well, we've got this property, how can we now sort of come in and look at what our operation is and do we need to make changes and that type of thing. But the other great developments, the Cairns Aquarium, which is the first aquarium to open in the Southern Hemisphere in I think about 20 years. So it's an incredible facility with a lot of very modern technology. So that's what we're really excited about, and very much tells the story of the Great Barrier Reef right through from the microorganisms that breed in the mangroves to how we end up with that beautiful structure that runs for 2,000 kilometres along the coast of Queensland.
There's a lot of talk about bleaching of the reef and the reef's dead and, you know, it isn't going to be quite the same, get here while you still can sort of thing. Is that true, or what do the people locally say about that?
Okay, so with the bleaching, we've had two sequential years of bleaching, and bleaching occurs when the water temperatures rise, which, I mean, everybody around the world knows that there is a serious global warming issue at the moment. So our reef is no different to any other reef that's experiencing these warmer temperatures around the world. Where we've had two straight years, that's put additional pressure onto the Great Barrier Reef. But having said that, the reef is absolutely not dead. We had a whole group of people went out to the Great Barrier Reef yesterday that were part of our group, and everybody was blown away by how magnificent the coral was. But at the other side, there is patches that have been bleached. The reef is a very resilient organism. It wouldn't have survived these hundreds of thousands of years if it wasn't resilient. And what happens is that it almost goes into a hibernation mode, and then it will regenerate again. We've had the start of coral spawning, which was was a magnificent sign that the coral is definitely ready to regenerate again. And we're expecting that to continue in the first week of December as well. So, yeah, the reef is absolutely not dead.
Now, Rosie, your real brief here in Cairns is business events, which are, you know, purposeful meetings that people run, whether it's for a corporate, whether it's an association gathering to talk about scientific advancement, or whether it's something like an incentive program where corporates are rewarded. And I know Cairns is a particular attraction to offshore incentive groups. Just how is the market going for you? And I know at the back of all this, there is some leisure upside to whatever happens in the business sector. So, you know, people who listen who are listening here aren't so interested in meeting. There are benefits for them too. So just talk me through, how's the meeting industry going? What sort of percentage increase have you had on last year? It seems like you have. And yeah, what's the forecast looking like?
Yeah, so business events, I mean, it's an interesting one. It is probably a fairly specific sector of our tourism industry here. But the great thing that business events deliver is the ability to bring people back on a holiday. So we have a lot of delegates that come in that perhaps have never been to the destination before for a meeting or an incentive. And there's a lot of evidence to say that 50 to 70% of those people will return for a holiday. So our region really recognises that not only does it the event actually put money into the economy, it's also like a very subtle marketing program that will get repeat visitors as well. We're blessed in our region in the sense that we've got an offering that appeals to both the eastern and western markets internationally. Many other destinations in Australia, certainly regional destinations, are very focused, say, even on Asia or the western markets, whereas the offering in our region is attractive for both, particularly the North American market, and we do a lot of really high-end corporate groups, particularly into Port Douglas, but also into Cairns as well. Obviously, in Cairns, we've got our award-winning convention centre, so that's you know, it's there and it attracts events from all over the world and very, very good quality events that come in. So in terms of the forward bookings, next year is looking very strong, probably a little bit stronger than 2017, certainly for the convention centre anyway, but also the reports from the hotels definitely is that the business is definitely coming back. So, and not more coming back, it's always been there, but it's looking very positive.
For a period after the GFC, places like Cairns and maybe Hawaii and others that have this sort of resort feel about them were a bit on the nose with shareholders who are saying, why are you spending the corporate money taking, you know, these fail salespeople away? You know, they haven't achieved the objective, the share price is still low. Do you think that's gone away now, and people who are providing the money to these corporations, little shareholders, do you think they now recognise there is a need to reward, there's a need to go and plan, there's a need to get away, and it doesn't matter whether the sun's shining or it's raining, work is being done?
Yeah, that's very true, and we certainly were no different to any other region during that GFC period. And I think the other challenge that we suffered in our region was the high Australian dollar. So even if there was international reward programs still occurring, say in China or America or places like that, the dollar was so strong in Australia that it become a fairly financially expensive to be able to bring groups to Australia. So we sort of suffered a bit of a double whammy there. And then again, with domestic groups, they were looking at places like Bali and Thailand. And again, with a strong Australian dollar, it was actually more affordable to send a group offshore. So our region did suffer significantly there. I mean, you only have to look at the growth of outbound travel through that period. And it was like it was double digit growth year on year on year, just simply because of the strong dollar. However, now with the dollar's back in balance from our perspective, you know, sitting at that around that 75 US is really good for our industry. It's affordable for people to come in. The perception of incentives is really interesting. I spoke to a lot of people from overseas, incentive planners, about, you know, what's happening with the incentive travel outbound during that period of time. What was happening was incentives were still occurring, but they were keeping them perhaps within the country, so or low-key. So if it's an American group, they may have taken them to Canada or maybe Mexico or somewhere within America rather than sending them offshore. So those types of things, reward programs are still there and a very vital part of a lot of businesses. It's just, I guess, the perception and how they manage it at the time.
You deal with a lot of professional conference organisers or meeting planners. We've got a fairly large audience for our radio show in North America and also in Western Europe. Just for people who perhaps don't know the potential of Cairns, what's the sort of smallest group you're interested in dealing with, and what's the largest?
Well, that's a good question. there's no groups too small, so I'll say that straight out. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's one person, two people, you know, 2,000 people. You know, everybody is certainly welcome. In terms of the capacity of the city, if we're talking about a convention, the convention centre at the moment can really comfortably do up to about 2,500 people for an international conference that's got trade components. However, if it's a straight meeting with no serious sort of breakout or trade area, their auditorium holds 5,000 people. So that, from that perspective, we've got the capacity there. Hotel rooms, I mean, once we get the Crystal Book Collection on, that's certainly going to help with, you know, increasing the capacities. Having said that, though, we've confirmed one piece of business out of China that's going to bring up to 6,000 to 7,000 people through in 2019, but they'll split them into smaller groups of 1,000. So quite often a popular way of doing it is smaller groups, but they bring them through in waves. And that gives a much more personalised feel to the program rather than it being just sort of a mass 5,000 people come in and hit the city for 2 days and then leave again.
Well, Rosie, you've taken us to various places. We've obviously seen Cairns City. We've gone up to the Atherton Tablelands. We found a bloke making gin and vodka and rum. We found a cheesemaker, a chocolate maker. We had a beautiful lunch up in the middle of the rainforest environment. Are there any other sort of things still to be discovered about this region, or have you sort of lifted the lid on everything?
No, you only got a taste of what's available, and certainly yesterday was called a taste of the Tablelands because it was just literally that, just giving you a little sample of what's available. This region, particularly if you go north and south, which we didn't really explore yesterday, Mission Beach, which is a two hours drive, hour and a half drive south, has got some fabulous undiscovered, you know, Parranilla Park, which is a global tourism product. It's a multi-award-winning product. You've got a rainforest down there that's a little bit different to what we're experiencing here. Then you go up to the magnificent Daintree Rainforest, Cape Tribulation, and you've got bushwalks, you've got jungle surfing, you've got reef operators that do go to a very different part of the Great Barrier Reef. And discovering, you know, the rainforest in a really undiscovered way as well. And then further north, you've got the famous Cooktown with a lot of history about Captain Cook's landing, all the way up to the Torres Strait. So still, the region itself that we cover is actually larger than the state of Victoria. So we've got a huge amount of, I suppose, offering for a whole range of different people.
Well, Rosie Douglas, thanks very much.
Thanks, Graham. It was great to see you again.
Rosie Douglas there, who runs business events, Cairns and Great Barrier Reef. If you've not been to the Great Barrier Reef, you've only got to look around at the people who do visit it. They are absolutely enthralled by what they can see, both out in the water and up in the adjoining rainforest. So do yourself a favour, go and have a look. It's an absolute gem on our shore there for 2,500 kilometres.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on J Air 87.8 FM.